welcome to episode 219 of the Dinner Sisters podcast, where two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. I'm Kate Schultz, living and working right outside Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a passionate cook and recipe collector, always thinking about my next meal.
And I'm Betsy Wallace. I live, work, and raise a family in Atlanta, Georgia. I love dinner time, but can always use help planning and cooking for my family of five.
Our goal with this podcast? Want to cook a little better, learn a little bit about food, and most importantly, figure out what the heck to have for dinner. And here's how this works. Usually I say every week, but we're changing it up. So this is an episode that's one of our more like classic Dinner Sisters, where we do a recipe roundup. We have three recipes that we cooked and reviewed from popular food blogs, internet chefs, anywhere I can find something on the World Wide Web. We'll have all these recipes, the tips, smorgasbord, and a shopping list on our website at dinnersisters.com.
Okay, Kate, this week's recipes were Mary's Bagna Cauda Pasta from Food 52, Tuna Sushi Stacks from Chelsea's Messy Apron, and Salmon Patties from Self-Proclaimed Foodies.
Yeah, so for those of you who were listening two episodes ago, we had a whole pantry deep dive. Really got into the pantry items. And, you know, I think had some real talk about pantries.
Yeah.
So this week we're talking about tinned fish, which like fits right into the theme. I'm loving that. You know, and it's more than canned tuna. So think anything that's like in a metal container that's also kind of a general seafood item. So that's what we're talking about this week. You know, and it like not knocking a can of tuna. It is a lifesaver sometimes. But like, what if we actually did something a little different, made a bigger meal or even just a bigger deal out of it? And the recipes we have today might be something that's a little out of the canned tuna rut.
Yeah, Kate, there are more things in the tinned fish aisle also that we can discover. So this was kind of fun. And I know sometimes, too, the canned fish and the tinned fish is more sustainable. Like eating the sardines and the anchovies and the smaller fish like that is a really great way to get some protein in your diet in a more sustainable way. So,
yeah. Just good things all over, Betsy. Good job for us with this, this recipe. Okay. So first recipe we have this episode is Mary's Bagna Cauda Pasta from Food 52. This is like a super extra simple spaghetti dish. Honestly, it's like, I'm not sure, other than just boiling noodles. So anyway, Bagna Cauda is kind of like a hot dip from Italy that has garlic and anchovies and olive oil. And you use it kind of like a fondue. That's how it was explained, but I was like, there's no cheese in this. I don't like the fondue recipe, but imagine like a warm anchovy and garlic dip with veggies. Kind of dip it in there. So you take that taste of anchovies, olive oil, and garlic, and you add it to pasta, and you have this recipe. So it's kind of funky with the anchovies, a little bit of garlic hot, but very savory. And to make it, you add butter and olive oil to a large pan over medium-low heat. When the butter is melted, you add in some smashed garlic. When the garlic is golden, you add anchovy fillets and then kind of melt them.
Yeah.
Basically, with your spoon. You know, using a flat wooden spatula is what they say in the recipe. But, you know, whatever you got, you kind of stir it until the mixture is more or less uniform. Like, it's not going to be like a beautiful, like, you know, white sauce or something. But, you know, so it looks a little bit smooth. Add in some lemon juice and stir it up. And then you strain some spaghetti that you've got boiling, saving a little bit of your pasta water, always. And then add the pasta to your pan with the anchovy sauce. Toss it all together and thin it with the pasta water if you want to, or if it's needed, if it's too thick. And you just garnish it with Parmesan cheese, black pepper, and some lemon zest. It honestly takes about as long to make this recipe as it does to explain it. I mean, there's the pasta in there, but, you know, it's very, very, very quick. Betsy, how'd this go?
So I personally am not a huge anchovy fan. And this is like, if you like anchovies, you'll like this. If you don't, it probably would be a lot because that's just the main flavor here.
Yeah.
There are anchovy fans in my house. So my husband loves anchovies. You know, the kids kind of like hit or miss. They sort of like it sometimes. Yeah. And so this was really good. You know what, Kate? I love these recipes. And we've done a few of them on the Dinner Sisters, which are like really super simple pasta recipes like this that are just supremely satisfying for those nights that you just want something very simple and flavorful and delicious. And so I personally like this, just I can't get around it. I don't know what it is. I wish I liked anchovies more. It's one of those.
I totally didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, Really? You don't?
It seems like I would like them. Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever had something like that where it's like you just wish you liked something more than you actually do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's so funny, though, when you to talk about like the weeknight pasta thing. So Tyler, one of our fave fans of the podcast, a longtime childhood friend, he did the pro tips too. He and I were Marco Poloing, which is this app that you can send people video chats. Mm-hmm. Super fun. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what you need to make? It's a pasta recipe that has anchovies in it. You just melt it. And he was kind of going through this whole, what the pasta recipe we just described. Ah. And I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. This is like a month ago. But when I was writing up all these episodes for the season, I had totally forgotten that I put this recipe in there. So independently of Tyler, he and I were both thinking of the same pasta dish.
Of a nice anchovy pasta dish.
And of a nice anchovy pasta dish. So I'm not sure what that says about either one of us. I think it says we're pretty amazing. Yeah. So shout out to Tyler for having the same idea. I agree. This is strong flavors. Yeah. If you're not an anchovy person, may not be the one for you. I don't know of a substitute for anchovies because that's the point of this. I would say kind of move on and maybe make the Smitten Kitchen garbanzo bean and tomato paste pasta.
Yeah, or you know what?
Chickpea.
Episode 2, I think it was like a lemon pasta, also by Smitten Kitchen.
Oh, yes. The lemon pasta. That's a good one. We should link to that. That was a good one.
Really, really good. So there's a lot of these really simple pastas that can hit the spot. And if anchovies is a flavor you like and you like a simple pasta, put this one on the menu.
For sure. I usually have anchovies in the house as one of those like umami things to add to pasta sauces and other things like that. And so this is extremely pantry friendly for me.
Yeah.
Because like we said, lemons are a pantry item for me. I always have Parmesan cheese, olive oil, garlic, all those things. Great, great recipe for that. I also really like the anchovies that come in a jar.
Oh, okay.
Because if you don't use a lot of anchovies at once, if you use the anchovies that come in a tin, that's great if you make the full recipe. But if you're only adding a few anchovies at a time, the anchovies in a jar can just be in your fridge.
That is helpful because the tins, we will often open them up and then you're like, oh, we give them like as a special treat to the dogs, but it feels... You know,
you're like, ugh, So, I mean, they are. So I will say this. The jars are a little more expensive. You can also get very expensive jarred anchovies. I was looking online, I was doing like a Fresh Market order or something on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then you can get a $25 jar of anchovies. Should you? Maybe. I mean, if you really love an anchovy, but we're getting off topic. Maybe we can talk about the smorgasbord. But the point is, super pantry friendly. I loved this with a lot of Parmesan cheese, just like go big or go home. And I did half it because I was like, this is not going to reheat well. So 4 to 5 for me. I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same way. And I also did half it. I didn't mention that, but I knew we weren't all going to eat this. So I halved it.
Yeah.
It's one of those easily. Yeah, that's a flexible recipe.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay, second recipe of the day is a tuna sushi stack by Chelsea's Messy Apron.
Yeah, this recipe was a tricky one for so many reasons. And the first reason is I had to search long and hard for a canned tuna recipe that wasn't like a sandwich or a casserole.
Yeah.
That's kind of all you get. There are a few recipes out there for a niçoise salad.
Yep, yep.
And then they'll like, that's kind of it. You kind of hit a hard wall with canned tuna, which like, I don't mind a tuna sandwich.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
But we already had pasta in this recipe in this episode. So I was like, So found this one and it's a very fresh tasting recipe. I also thought that was fun. And it is a stack. So, you know, if you go to a fancy restaurant and they like stack things up.
Yeah.
And it's like a little stack of like tuna tartare or whatever in a ring mold. This is what this is. So think of it as a rice layer, a tuna layer, guacamole layer, and a mango salsa layer. A lot of things going on. So you make some sushi rice, season that with your rice wine vinegar, set that aside. And then you make your tuna, which is essentially just tuna salad. So it's canned tuna, mayo, a squeeze of lemon. Set that aside. Then you make some guacamole, essentially. It's not really. It's like almost guacamole, right? Yeah. Avocados, salt, a little bit of lemon, set that aside. Then I think the most work is maybe making this mango salsa. So like a chopped mango, red onion, and then cucumbers all mixed all together, a little bit of lemon, salt, and that's your components. And to make this, she has you packing it into a 1 cup measuring cup because it's a really easy way. Mm-hmm. So you do like your mango first, then your guacamole, then your tuna, then your rice. I made this in my English muffin rolls.
Oh, cute.
Rounds, right? Yeah. So you do it the opposite way. The rice is on the bottom. However you get the rice on the bottom. And then you can kind of pull it up and it's this very pretty little stack. Did you make the stack, Betsy?
I didn't because you told me not to. You were like,
I know. So I know the answer to that question.
You're probably not going to be in the mood to make a pretty stack on this. So just skip it and do it as a bowl. Yeah. I know when it's going to be an especially like a, you are worried that you're going to make me angry.
Yeah.
The podcast, because I'll get this quick phone call like, hey, so I was thinking on the tuna stack recipe. I know you probably haven't read it yet, but
I do. I'm like, hey, sister.
Yeah.
Sister. Yeah.
And so you had told me to go ahead and make this as a bowl if I wanted to take the easy way out, which is also nice because it's like the shortcut you need, but you don't have to think of yourself. So I did
right
make it as a bowl, which was totally fine. I will tell you, we had some mental blocks, kind of similar to what you were talking about, is like we were about half and half on people who were accepting of the tuna bowl and people who were like, this is gross. Tuna fish goes in a tuna fish sandwich, not in a rice bowl. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
could not get over the mental, like, this is an inappropriate place for it.
Like, this is not okay.
Yeah. Like, what kind of mental gymnastics went into making this? So I did just buy the mango salsa because the mangoes didn't look great at my grocery store and they were like really, really hard and underripe. And so I just went over to the salsa aisle because I thought, you know what, I can probably find some mango salsa. And I think that's a good sub for when it's out of season. So that worked out really well for me.
Mm, yeah. Love that idea as a sub. So I kind of like followed the recipe because I knew I'd like told you not to kind of.
Yeah.
And I actually not super shocked about the mango salsa. What I ended up doing is I actually ripened my mangoes in a paper bag.
Oh, okay.
For like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And I've never done that before. And maybe people who are used to eating more mangoes than me are like, of course you can do that. But I hadn't done it before. Worked out really well.
Okay.
So in, you know, if anyone ever has that issue, just put them in a paper bag. And maybe it took, mine were rock hard. So it took like a good 2.5 solid days of just in this paper bag. Once I did it, it was fine. I made the stack, which was fun, but I'm not sure I'd do that again because it was fussy. And also it was very small.
Oh, sure. So you're
just like, right. So you got this like kind of small stack. And I was like, oh,
now I'm just going to start eating out of the pan. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. But I really loved the flavors. And I do think you could easily make this with deli ingredients. I think if you bought guacamole for this, it would be great. You know, I do, but I still like the idea of like having another option for tuna.
Yeah.
And I also think, Betsy, this is just coming to me now, but I think if you don't like the tuna mayo thing, I think you could easily just, if you got good quality tuna, which you should be getting, if you just chunk it up into the bowl, it's a little less like a tuna sandwich.
Yeah.
And a little more just like, oh, this is some delicious canned tuna, mango salsa, some, you know, mashed up avocado.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea. So I'm giving it points for the idea.
Yeah.
Because I could not find much else. This is a 4 out of 5 for me. How about you?
Yeah. Same here. I mean, I think it's worth a try. And also, I wonder if this would be good for littler kids, too. Like, this felt like it could be if you had some, you know, preschoolers. It's nice and lots of colors and different components. And I thought it's a little bit wacky, depending on your kids, but it could be really fun, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
If these are things your kids like.
Yeah, it could be.
Like if they like mangoes and avocado, like, you know, kids go through phases.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
Day to day. But yeah, I do think that's funny. I can just picture actually the conversations that were in your house.
Always lots of opinions. All right. The last recipe is salmon patties from self-proclaimed foodies.
Okay, so these are salmon patties. I think it's not much else to describe them as. They are a very basic salmon patty recipe, but they ended up being super delicious. So basically what you do, you take two, well, I had 2 cans of salmon or one large can of salmon. She suggests that you, if you know, you pull the skin out, if there's bones in it, you pull the bones out. That's the only thing about some canned salmon, is that it's very much a very rustic experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that experience with my cans, but it depends upon the kind you get. Basically, you just mash up the salmon, put in some eggs, panko breadcrumbs, a lot of green onion, Parmesan cheese, and salt. Mush it all together so you get a nice kind of patty dough. I don't know what else to call it. And then you make it into 8 small patties. The ones that I made were maybe, what, like 3-4 inches across?
Yeah, mine too.
And yeah, like a little under an inch thick. You fry them in plenty of oil until they're brown. That's it. There's not much to say about this recipe other than just mix it together and fry it. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I got nothing else. Betsy, how do these go for you guys?
Well, so I was especially inspired on canned salmon patty morning. And
oh, tell me more. Yeah,
I made them with grits because I had just picked up some, like, a bag of really nice grits. And then we had fried eggs. And then I thought, well, maybe there's a way to make an easy hollandaise sauce.
Whoa.
I know, Kate. So I Googled. And the first hit that came up was Budget Bites. And, you know, I trust her. And she's
solid.
Right? I thought, well, if she has an easy recipe, it probably is easy and will actually work.
Yeah.
So I used the Budget Bites Easy Hollandaise Sauce, which was easy. And so we had the grits, the egg, a salmon patty with some hollandaise sauce over it.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It was amazing. It was so good. And you know what's funny is that Ryan said, well, this is really, really good. Like, I feel like we're out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But if the recipe is only the salmon patty, then I don't think I would just eat one of these salmon patties plain. And I was like, well, of course you wouldn't. Like, no one would.
You're not going to just, like, put a – here's your patty. What? What a weird critique. Right. So, like, here's this spectacular brunch. He's like, but the just a salmon patty by itself
would not be good.
Thumbs down.
And he's like, I feel like you might have to warn your podcast listeners about this. I was like, what?
I trust our listeners not to just make a salmon patty, put it on a plate and say dinner served.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Man, those food podcasters, they're really leading me down the wrong path. I thought this would be a complete meal. Salmon patty. What?
Oh my gosh.
So that was my salmon patty experience. I thought they were amazing as part of a larger meal, which is what it's meant to be. So there
you go. Right. That is hilarious. Uh-huh. I'm just, you know, I can picture him saying this too. Like, he's really giving you something to think about.
There's a little insight, a little nugget from Ryan.
So these are way tastier than I thought they would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting like a solid, just like, oh, okay, this was fine. And I was like, oh, plenty of onions in there, I think makes it taste extra delish. The Parmesan cheese is always a good thing. I made this as something to have in the fridge, obviously, with other things as a meal.
Yeah.
Right. Because I had also made the tuna stacks that day. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to make this on the side. But then I got hungry and I did, Betsy, just kind of have a salmon patty
because
I know. Listen up. Here's what I did. I was hungry and I just like needed a snack. And I was kind of making the patties after I made the tuna stacks for lunch. But as we said, the tuna stacks weren't extremely filling. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'll have one of these patties. And I had some avocado left.
Ooh, yum.
And I just had the patty and kind of like, it was pretty feral. I won't exactly describe what happened, but you can kind of a picture. You're in the kitchen by yourself situation, right?
Yeah.
That was actually a super good combo.
I bet that was
like
good.
The avocado and the salmon patty. I mean, it was not grits and hollandaise sauce, but it was still pretty good. They suggested, too, to have this on a salad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that'd be nice. Like, warm up the salmon patties, have it with some, like, butter lettuce, maybe that avocado, and a nice, like, garlicky kind of vinaigrette situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I love the convenience of the canned salmon, too.
Me, too. So it goes from your pantry into a really delicious dinner component to round out a lot of different things. Or, like you said, just makes a really easy kind of let me eat a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and feel satisfied.
Yeah. If you're like kind of scrounging out of your fridge and you're like, oh, I'll make some steamed broccoli because that's all I have left. And I've got a little bit of quinoa left. what do I make for this? Oh, I've got these salmon patties would be delicious with something like that.
Yeah. And all you really need to keep in your pantry is that can of salmon. So I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this.
Yeah. This is a 5 out of 5. I was surprised how much I like this, and I will definitely make it again.
Me too. And Kate, not to, you know, spoiler alert, but as we head into our favorites on the episode, mine was the salmon patty.
Really?
Yeah, what was yours?
Same.
Mm. You were so shocked, and yet it was the same one.
I know. Well, I guess I was shocked that we both had the same one. Yeah. I was mainly because I thought it'd be the bagna cauda pasta for me. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And it was really good. Mm-hmm. But those salmon patties are so versatile. And I want to make that brunch. That brunch sounds really good.
Yeah, I think that I will be keeping canned salmon in my pantry because of this recipe, knowing that I have kind of a trick up my sleeve with that, which is nice.
Yeah, and if you're a Costco person, this was like a sleeve of Costco canned salmon that we used, and it worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If any of these recipes sound good to you, if you've got some Costco salmon in your house, make sure to check out our show notes and grocery list at dinnersisters.com. We'll have links to all the recipes and any of the additional recipes, like the pasta ones we talked about, tips and techniques we talked about, too. If you'd like to chat more with us, for instance, if you have some other tinned fish ideas, we'd love to hear from you. We're at Dinner Sisters Podcast on Facebook, or you can always email us, dinnersisterspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, Kate, smorgasbord today. What other kinds of tinned fish do you keep in your pantries and recipes you like? What's going on with your tinned fish situation?
What's my tinned fish situation? Well, I'll tell you what. My tinned fish situation is right now a lot of cans of tuna and olive oil. I love tuna and olive oil is the way to go.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So I don't buy tuna in water anymore. I think it's like, it has this like dry taste to it. So I love that. I'm a big fan now of American tuna. Mm. You and I both really got turned on to that. It is a little bit more expensive. And so, you know, but I think it's kind of worth it if you can afford it because it supports the, some American people from the United States doing tuna fishing in a sustainable way. But honestly, the olive oil tuna is the way to go. I do like I said, anchovies in the fridge with that are in olive oil in a jar. And sometimes I'll buy like an anchovy paste.
Yeah.
If I don't find the jar, they sell paste in these like metal tubes.
Okay.
And so you can squirt that into sauces and things. Also keeps a little easier than like a tin of anchovies. But yeah, those are the ones that I keep in my pantry. But honestly, I think I'm going to keep more of the canned salmon.
Yeah.
Because of those patties.
I know. I agree. I'm going to add that as a more regular thing. So I found smoked tuna from American Tuna at the DeKalb Farmers Market here in Atlanta. And it is so good. It's kind of smoked and then canned in olive oil.
Ooh.
And I could eat that for lunch like every day. It was so delicious. They're out of, I have not seen it in stock for a while, but when I see it, I like to grab it. My other thing that we keep, not necessarily for me, but for my husband, just loves like the sardines in mustard with some dill. They have like sardines and all different kinds of things, right? So we will keep some tins of sardines as well. And occasionally some herring, Kate, some pickled herring.
Ooh.
That's the Wisconsin roots.
I know. You know, I do love, I should buy some because they're such good snacks, like a very like protein forward, not junk food kind of snack that kind of tastes really good.
Yeah.
And my favorite brand of those is actually the Bar Harbor brand of sardine and herring.
Yep.
So delicious. And they've got them kind of in red wine too. So I love those. And also would love to hear from our listeners about any canned fish items that they particularly love. I have not gotten to the canned oysters.
Yeah, I haven't really either.
But the smoked canned oysters, I know a lot of people like, but I'd love to hear from folks. I do know too, if you, especially if you are from or have relatives or heritage or just have been to Spain or Portugal, big tinned fish culture over there. So I'd love to hear if anyone gets into that. But we do have some recipes that we like. Betsy, the classic wrapped in tin foil. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Our mom's tuna melts, which have become kind of a cult classic here on the pod, Kate. Lots of people make these tuna melts.
Yeah. They're a little unusual. They're not your typical tuna melt. Mm-hmm. You kind of make this tuna salad that has the mayo, tuna, but you also chop up a hard-boiled egg or two. You chop up some pickles, mm-hmm. and then you dice up some cheese.
Yep.
And that all goes into the tuna as like one big thing. And then you put it in between two hamburger buns, wrap it in some tin foil, and pop it in the oven. And
toast it up.
I want one.
So good.
Toast it up. I want it right now.
I know. Me too.
So delicious. So delicious.
And then to cap it off here, Kate, we have the tomato sauce, which was a discovery for me this year in Susan Spungen's book. When we reviewed Susan Spungen, who was Martha Stewart's longtime food editor and food stylist, and she had a book called Open Kitchen come out. And in that, there was a tomato recipe that was the first time I had ever made it. And it's a sauce that has, like, it's like blended tuna is kind of the base of the sauce, right?
Yeah.
So a tomato sauce is tuna, lemon juice, olive oil, little mayo, sometimes some anchovies, and it gets blended up. And in her recipe, you sauce a poached chicken breast, like a cold poached chicken breast, with this tomato sauce for kind of a hot summer's night meal with a nice salad. And it's kind of rich and delicious and unexpectedly amazing. It was such a discovery for me this year, and it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love tomato on nearly everything. Mm-hmm. So good. I would make myself – I haven't made it in a little bit because it's kind of – it's definitely a warm weather thing.
It is, yeah.
But, yeah, but it's so good with just like you said, the poached chicken breast. I would dip veggies in it as like a little dip. Or I actually would spread tomato on sandwiches. So like a turkey sandwich with tomato instead of mayonnaise.
Okay.
Looks really good. It's just an extra savory umami note to it. So tomato, super delish, super good. If you're kind of like looking for something different, you know, I think it'd be really good if you did kind of a tomato on the side of like a more of a niçoise salad kind of situation.
Yeah.
We had some eggs and potatoes, cold potatoes and olives and things like that. I think the tomato would like go really, really well with that kind of thing. Definitely make it. We'll have that recipe on our show notes if y'all are interested.
All right, Kate, coming up, what are we doing next week?
We have another interview, which is so exciting. It is Laura Fuentes and her Momables, which was so fun. She talks a lot about how to cook for kids from when they're very, very small, which is when she started this Momables, which is kind of like a Lunchables. You know, it was her version of Lunchables.
Yeah.
And how to cook for kids and also your family or just yourself in a way that's extremely tasty, but also very nutritious and full of just, you know, good things to eat. She also super loves a pancake, which I can get behind. Mm-hmm. And Betsy, she's got that Spanish chicken that we want to make.
She does. I was going through and editing and, you know, putting together this episode, and I was so in love with her cooking philosophy and just how she approaches making food for her family. It was really – I just really enjoyed this interview, so I'm looking forward to it, coming out.
Yeah, it was super fun, and I'm excited for everyone to listen to it.
All right, so that's what's for dinner. See you next time on The Dinner Sisters. We'll save a spot at the table for you.
If you would like to have more of The Dinner Sisters, you definitely need to join our Facebook group. We are at Dinner Sisters Podcast. And if you want to support The Dinner Sisters, please join our Patreon for just about $5 a month. You can support the podcast and get some extra things, tips and treats that we put in the Patreon. And if you want to talk to us via email, dinnersisterspodcast@gmail.com. Last, as per usual, if you like what you're hearing, please review and subscribe. That's how people get to know us. Thanks, and happy eating.